When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Believes to be of quality. But there is, unseen by most, an episodic horror-based TV show. A show that still holds up. A show called Tales from the Dark Side.
One of your more inspired pieces, my friend.
It read my mind. It played my thoughts.
Hey, what's up, and welcome back to Talks from the Dark Side, the podcast where we talk about Tales from the Dark Side, the 80s horror television show created by George Romero and Richard Rubenstein. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Today we're talking about The Satanic Piano, directed by John Harrison, with an original story by Carl Jacoby, with an original air date of November 3rd, 1985.
All right, episode 6. Here we are.
Here it is, man. This is our first John Harrison directed episode.
Yep. And we love some John Harrison.
We sure do.
Yeah, I'm not even going to make a joke about his name because I fucked it up so many times over the course of the show already. But yes, we love you, John.
What? When was that?
Just go back if you even want to bother doing it for the edit.
We'll do the recap.
Yeah, John Morrison, Jim Morrison. You know, I've called them many different wrong things, whether intentional or
Hank
not.
Hill.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably. If not, now we have.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean,
so he's composed a lot of these episodes, if I'm not mistaken, or is involved with a lot of composing, if my mind serves me right.
He's like Romero's music guy.
Right, okay.
That's the best way to kind of describe it.
And he did Creepshow, and he did a bunch of he specifically did Inside the Closet and a handful of other episodes, and he did the score for this as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense if you're going to have him direct.
The
sure.
titular piano music in this was done by him.
And there's a lot of, I mean, it's, you know, he's got like a sound. It's like you hear sound, it's like, oh, that's John Harrison for sure.
Oh, wait. That's definitely John Harrison, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of like Day of the Dead soundtrack in here. So if you like the Day of the Dead soundtrack, good news.
Yeah, the stuff in between. Yeah, in between the piano stuff, where it's the score of the show.
Yeah,
it's for sure.
Yeah, that like dun 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 dun.
Yeah. Like now that you're saying it, I'm like playing it back in my head. You're 100% right.
Yeah, but before we get into The Satanic Piano, Chris, you got a show coming up, do you not?
Yeah, so I'm starting a new event series called Midnight Madness. And the first one is March 31st, playing Evil Dead 2 at Basie Center Cinemas Red Bank.
Nice, man. That's going to be awesome.
So I'm really excited. It's going to be a lot of fun doing starting off with an hour of vendors, trailers playing, all sorts of fun little things, and then movies starting at midnight.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then got a few others planned, so all sorts of stuff coming ahead.
And again, we're going to be there. So we're going to be hanging out for some Evil Dead 2 for Midnight Madness. If you want to get your tickets now, head over to thebasie.org/Midnight Madness and get your tickets. So we open up with Michael Warren playing Pete Bancroft. And he's like this big Lionel Richie-esque musician.
Yeah. Oh, it's just Bancroft.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Right. Bancroft.
Right. This guy, you want to like him.
Do you?
I mean, I want to, but it's hard to. By the end of it, I finally do. But they introduce this guy, and he's like, oh, he's a musician. Okay, I kind of get behind that. And then he just is like the biggest asshole about it. Like, oh, because he's going off on his manager, which we'll talk about in a second. But just I'll make a quick point about that, where his manager's like, yeah, I couldn't get you what you want. And he's like, you're going to go back there, and you're going to get me what I fucking want, and you're not going to come back till the ink's dry on the contract. It's like that kind of personality.
Yeah, he's kind of full of himself, exactly. Very arrogant, and he just wants the next big like hit. He's
got a
wall full of platinum albums, and
he's hit a creative wall, and he's pumping out bullshit, guys. Yeah. Like he's getting frustrated because he doesn't know what the next big hit is for him, and he's pissed off that he made this record company so much money and he's not getting the same salary as like Paul McCartney or Lionel Richie or anything,
which
like
I think
that.
He straight up says in the episode. Yeah. He feels slighted.
Yeah, 100%. But that's also like added to his stress why he's like got a creative block or whatever, because he can't get this song out the correct way, like out of his head.
Yeah, and he's like tinkering around and like playing with it, and it's like, again, we get like that John Harrison music coming in. It's like, oh cool, this is fun. So if you're like familiar with the music, it's like, oh, this is neat. You get a little bit of that soundtrack in there.
The little boop, boop, boop,
yeah.
Boop,
yeah.
Boop. Wait, what does it sound like? Yeah, it kind of sounds there like that.
I love his daughter who comes in.
It's Lisa Bonet, dude. She plays Justine. Excuse me.
I'm just going to call her Denise because that's what I, you know, just know her as I kept saying, Denise from The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
Younger than in The Cosby Show, I think, by a couple of years. But
Catwoman's mom.
Yeah, there you go. That's, exactly. Yeah. Obviously. she.
Lenny Kravitz's wife.
Yeah, ex-wife. Exactly.
Wife?
Ex-wife.
Ex at this point. Yeah. But she kind of comes in. She has some talent herself. And dad, he's kind of like basically smoking the cigarette out the window, burning the midnight oil, not getting down. Basically can't get the music to come out the way he wants it to, like you were saying, Joe. And she's like, hey, dad, I have this new thing I'm trying. It's like kind of like synth wave stuff she's trying with the piano. And it's kind of cool, which you find out later is kind of exactly the sound he's been looking for. But he just writes her off.
Listen to this.
Yeah, exactly. But he writes her off because he's frustrated. When honestly, what you needed was right there all along, which I feel like is kind of the end message when we kind of get through the rest of the bullshit that happens.
Well, she wants help with her song, and it's this pretty like ballady type song, and like he is just so about like he doesn't want her help, he doesn't want to help her. He's so like inside his head, and he's only thinking about the fucking buck and not about the creativity and the soul of the music. He's just trying to make the next hit thing.
Yeah, and she's just really just messing around.
Yeah, she just wants to make music,
putting soul into the song.
You're onto something there.
Yep.
Speaking of, he receives a phone call. Like I said, he has a bad meeting with his manager that doesn't go the way he expects it to. And then he gets this random phone call from this like Oswald Cobblepot / Dr. Wally's.
That's a good way to describe it.
Or Dr. Wily's fucking reject. I don't know what. Oswald Cobblepot, the penguin with a fucking lab coat on. I have this invention that would greatly interest you. and he's like basically giving him like some inside information he would not know to kind of entice him.
Yeah, and he's like, it's the next hit thing. Yeah, it's gonna make Moog look like a fucking like bullshit. Yeah.
Although one thing we did forget to mention, we know who the character is based on like a previous scene.
His name's Wilson Farber, by the way.
Right, where this guy has like a red like satin like cloth over
him.
We
get to that a little bit later.
Oh, I thought it was before that. It's not.
No. So he's like, you gotta see this instrument. You can't tell anybody about it. Come down to fucking 666 Hickory Street or whatever, and we're gonna listen to it, baby. So before he leaves, his agent comes in, Tony. He's like, hey, baby, let me tell you something. Like, you know, the music company just doesn't like the new songs. They think they're all shit. And
they kind of are.
Yeah. not your most inspired piece there, Bancroft.
Very generic. Very like, yeah, you could have figured this out in your sleep. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Just sort of like sleepwalking through it, like riding off his success and just kind of being like lazy about it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's losing touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walking on the ceiling.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's when the manager tells him that they're not going to pay him what he wants, and they're just going to give him the same fee as last time. That's when he's like rattling off, I don't want to be paid the same as McCartney. I want to be paid more than that.
Which it also, like, this guy is in a fucking like penthouse, by the way.
It's a pretty nice penthouse.
He's doing pretty well.
He's doing pretty well. Yeah. Like, you know, maybe enjoy the finer things in life, like spending time with your daughter.
Right.
Even though you fucking went, your album went platinum last year. Give me a break.
Yeah, he's got the gold records on the wall. Yeah. It's not like he's like eating porridge or something like that.
So Bancroft goes down to Farber's place.
Warehouse, apartment, whatever this place is.
There's like
dungeon.
There's
evil lab.
There's like a keypad on the door to get in. It's all musical notes.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah. So he goes in and he's like, huh, got all this magic shit. And he's like, well, people think my taste is a little eclectic. He's like, well, music and magic, they go together with your fucking foot in a jar on the thing.
Yeah, there's all sorts of weird stuff in the background here.
There's like an owl with like a cross around it, a crucifix around its neck. And this guy's like, okay, here we go. Here's the magic piano, the satanic piano TM. Look at this thing. And he's bankrupt. Like, the fuck? This is just a synthesizer. I got every new one on the market. Yeah. He's like, no, you don't understand. Think about the song that you were writing and see what happens.
Right. And it just starts playing.
And then he's like, no. And it shows like the piano, like this. It sounds like the piano that he's playing before. He's like, no. The way you want it to sound.
Yeah. So he like focuses, closes eyes, and then the song comes back.
Right. But exactly how he pictured it inside his mind's eye, which he couldn't figure out before. Yeah. And like the guy's even like, yeah, you know, you've been having trouble trying to get that idea out of your head in that moment of inspiration and getting to the keyboard in time, and you lose it. Yeah. In between which, I mean, a lot of artists probably can, they know that feeling, but it's like very pertinent to the reason why he agrees to take this thing. And he's like, yeah, you know what? I need no payment at all. Well, but we can figure something out later once you find that it's useful to you. He's like, are you sure?
Yeah, once you make that fucking sweet, sweet music, baby, then we can talk. You're going to put Farber's fucking name on the map.
Ignore that 666 on there. Just pretend that's not there.
Don't even worry about
this glowing fucking Horus X screen that pops up later. Put your hands on it, Lionel Richie.
Touch me. Touch me, Bancroft.
Make music with me, Bancroft.
So this guy Farber's just up to something. You already know he's scheming.
Yeah, he's
like, oh, I don't need payment. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Just take it.
Let's shake on it. Let's make a deal.
With the devil? So Bancroft takes this thing home, and he's like fucking jumping and jiving with this thing. He's like laughing and like listening to it playing and like playing with all the knobs.
It's
and
all
shit.
Over the place. And at the same time, it keeps playing that same loop. That we just every 2 minutes, this thing is just, oh, let's play it again.
Yeah.
So in his like wildest dreams of his like in his imagination, his like musical dreams are just more John Harrison.
Yeah, wow.
So he is John Harrison.
Yeah, that's all right.
So maybe it's maybe it's an autobiography right here. Also, sure. Like the thing itself, it's like we got to talk about that, where it's just like it's like a clear, like an upright piano.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's like it's translucent cool with like just wires running through it.
And when Chris says upright piano, not like not like a ragtime upright piano. Yeah. Like it's a fucking grand piano on its face.
With a little, with keys in the front. Yeah.
And when he's first showing it to him, maybe it was the lighting in my apartment, but you could not see what this thing looked like at all.
It was in like a dark room at first, but then when Bancroft moves it to his apartment, you can see the whole thing.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah, that is cool.
And there's like tech running through it and like all like the like chipboard, if that's what you want to call it, with all lights running through it and stuff.
So I wonder if that's what John Harrison used for Creepshow.
It's like yeah, one of those.
Just wheeled it in. And by the way, so the gear that he uses in all of his soundtracks, one of them is like the most reoccurring one, is a Yamaha DX7, which you can just go on Reverb, eBay, whatever, find one and there you go. Make your own satanic piano music.
Which is pretty cool, man.
Mm-hmm. Does he have a Mr. Yamagachi?
Probably. A Yamabachi, yeah.
From Ghoulies 3?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. That fucking fish ghoulie's going to give it the axe. You better watch it.
John Harris, he's going to break out the double barrel to take care of that bastard.
So Lisa Bonet comes in. Oh, Bancroft like falls asleep on the couch. He's like, he's so happy with himself. He like wakes up the next morning and he's like, huh! And he like looks at the thing. He's like, ah, satanic piano, and goes back to sleep. Lisa Bonet walks in and it starts playing her music.
Yeah, right. she's already acting kind of weird. Like she couldn't sleep the night before.
Yeah.
And she has this like she's drawn to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just immediately just walks up to it, starts playing.
Well, the thing just reads her thoughts because she's just been thinking about the music the whole time. So he wakes up and he's like, what the fuck? He's like, get away from that. Don't touch that, blah, blah, blah.
She's like, that was my song from my dream I just had.
Yeah, how did it read my mind? I didn't even touch the thing. And he's like, it's a new technology. Get away from it. Don't touch it. I have to go meet Tony. Just don't fucking touch this, okay?
There's all sorts of fancy processor, whatever.
Or whatever's knob stuffs. So Lisa Bonet is on the couch, and she's taking a nap now. And Bancroft's gone. And Farber, like, I don't know what.
Skypes
why?
In.
Why? Yeah. Skypes into this fucking piano, and he's like, "That's the music. That's the one."
Okay.
It wasn't him. It was her.
It wasn't Bancroft. It was his daughter.
Because he hears the Bancroft music at first.
The Bancroft.
Whatever.
That's what it is.
Yeah. He starts tearing up a little, but it doesn't quite click for him. And then when that music comes on from the daughter, he's like, "Oh!" Like the gushers start pouring.
Well, that's she's when, the one.
That's when the fucking horror sex screen comes up.
Well, that's when they finally pan out, and you see a fucking dead body like on a freaking gurney, and he's like, "Yeah, this is the one. The last one didn't work out." So like, I guess this guy is like part of some like musically themed satanic cult, but he's the only member.
We find out.
Oh,
we get there.
Oh yeah, it's coming right up. So Bancroft comes back with Tony, and Lisa Bonet is gone. And Tony's like, "What? You got to tell me about this fucking piano. Like, where did you get this thing from?" He's like, "Ah, this some Farber guy. Like, it doesn't matter, whatever. Like, you got to hear this shit."
Yeah,
like,
his manager's like, "Wilson Farber. I know that name."
He's like, "Oh, he was a manager of that heavy rock metal band. Yeah. You know, he produced Sammy Kerr."
Exactly. Yeah. There's a Black Roses tie-in.
Oh, yeah, straight up.
Yeah. I am for real. That also, I was sitting there like, all right, weird satanic panic bullshit in this, but okay, I guess it works for the plot.
It's fucking great, dude.
Yeah. It's like the more the merrier.
Well, they're like, oh yeah, the lead singer of the band just one night just dropped dead, and they always blame Farmer, but they couldn't ever pin it on him.
Well, he burnt his motel room down and killed everybody in the band, and they only had one acetate, copy, and he gave it to Gene Simmons.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, well, Farmer's been looking for that ever since.
Exactly.
Ragman's got it at home.
He sure does. Ripped it to tape too.
Exactly.
So he's like, shit, Farber's involved with black magic voodoo shit and some heavy metal bands or some stuff.
Oh, that ritualistic crap.
Yeah. Believing in that voodoo bullshit. Like to head off a snake and shit. So Bancroft's like, oh my God, Lisa Bonet's at the Farber guy's place. He took her with the piano.
I was convinced that she was sucked into this thing before we find out what actually happened. And I was like, well, you're not getting her back. She's inside the fucking piano.
Almost.
It kind of goes there a little bit as we find out. But no, she's just strapped to the same gurney that other body was previously when he charges in. And he's like, oh, my God, what are you doing, Denise from Cosby's Show? And that's the actual line. And then, you know, then Farber comes and he's like, oh, yeah, she was actually the perfect one. It wasn't you. Like he's still not getting it.
So like, let me break it down for you. The machine takes the soul out of your daughter because she's got the music in her. Like that new Radical song.
Yeah, there's like a big exposition dump, but it's like, keep up here because if you miss it, you're going to have no idea what's going on.
The piano sucks your musical soul out. The literal soul
like
of music. Oh, yeah. Kind of. And what'll happen is after it absorbs her entire musical soul, the piano will be able to create the most wonderful music in the world. And he will be famous for having the best music ever written.
He wants to be immortalized.
He's going to be Bill and Ted.
Yeah, that's exactly. Wow. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Up there, the ranks of Beethoven. Yeah.
Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted. All the greats.
Meanwhile, Clarence Clemens.
Meanwhile, Denise is stuck in there in a machine like Job and fucking Horace X. And what are they chit-chatting over the web or something?
Dude, I guess.
Having a support group with each other.
Either way, that goddamn song is still playing.
Yeah. It's a number one hit all over the world.
Yeah, now it is.
Bancroft tries to stop the machine and he like shoves his hand in the Horace X screen and his fucking hand like burns to
like
shit.
Melts to the bone.
It's pretty cool.
Which at first I was like, wow, valiant effort, like throwing his career away to try to save his daughter, but it does nothing. And then when like he realizes, oh, I know what to actually do, because like you hear her song being pulled in, representing her soul, and he starts like really focusing, almost like a Professor X kind of thing, like holding his head and everything, and his music starts taking over, and then Farber's like, no, not you! It's
don't
pretty
play
cool.
That song again.
Wait.
Okay.
I think it's a cool scene, and it kind of brings us to this climax where then his song takes over, but in the process, I guess the machine overloads and starts exploding.
Yeah, I thought that was cool, though, how, like, he literally had to put the shitty song in to stop the piano.
A 404.
His bad song's good for something.
His bad song's good for saving his daughter.
It was like a full 404 meltdown when it heard that.
Dude, it's great. He, like,
the Farber's in front of him, like, no, can't do this, no! Like, for, like, 30 seconds while this thing's, like, sparkling, kind of exploding, massive explosion.
Oh, meanwhile, the song just keeps playing, doubling on top of each other. It's like, this is too much.
Bancroft picks up Lisa Bonet and walks off screen, and this fucking thing explodes with Farber like in front of
That's
it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Completely vaporizes.
Like, the shot of Bancroft running away with Lisa, it's like, it looks like one of those, like, you know, stunts gone wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's like he's in frame with the explosion and it just looks like way too close.
Way too close. And he just like falls down with her too.
So it's like, all right, cool. You got the shot though. Looks good.
All right. Thanks, John.
So he gets up with his mangled hand and his daughter's like, oh my God, your hand, Dad. How are we going to eat? Don't worry. You're the future. You're only like 15, but we're putting you to work. Come on, let's make some music. And they run upstairs.
I thought that was a sweet thing.
No, I'm making a joke out of it, but it was very sweet.
No, I thought it was a sweet thing because it was like, you know, he finally realized that, like, oh, he should get the help of his daughter. Yep. And to kind of move into the new sound or whatever, you know what I mean?
And he said, what's the line he says? He says, oh, don't worry. It's just, it's all about the music now.
Yeah.
Is that what he says?
Yeah, he got like his soul back. Yeah. I forget exactly what he says, but it's something like, you're going to be the hands or you're the music now, I think, is something like that he says.
And also, like, right before here, too, it's like, there's a special focus on that musical lock again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Where they're running out, and he's like, oh, the musical lock. And, he's like, and the code, I think it's like F-E-E-B-E-E. So it's like, it's Farber almost. Is that the lock, I guess? I don't know.
He's a musical genius, okay?
And it's like, this is like, I mean, there's like all sorts of little, like, it's like, yeah, that's cute. It's like having a little musical lock.
That's fine.
Like, yeah, whatever.
Fine.
Satanic music guy for some reason. Why not?
Well, he's a magician who practices the black arts, but he's also a technological genius.
Yeah, I wonder if he uses like Simon Says or Simon the Game to like summon fucking demons.
He could. He's fucking teaming up with Esteban, dude. That's for sure.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, and the demon's already in that computer.
And then it just kind of wraps up. And again, feel bad that Dad just threw his hand away for no reason. But I guess he didn't know any better. And he learned a fucking lesson. So,
well, got to sacrifice to learn. Yeah, you know, sometimes growth is painful.
Exactly.
Know? So what do we think of this episode?
This one was really good. I thought, I don't know, not the one of the best episodes. But I like the... A lot of the concepts and basically the whole thing with the daughter kind of makes it for me. If the daughter wasn't in this, I feel like this is like it doesn't work at all.
No,
but
sure.
She adds all the tension and I don't know. I had a good time with this one. It definitely leans more on that sci-fi. We're getting a lot of sci-fi this season so far, but there's a good balance of horror in this also. And again, like the music angle, I like the way they played that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a ton to really say, but just shot well. That hand looked gnarly as hell when it came out of that like portal thing. And that, like, again, that Dr. Wily fucking penguin dude, whatever you want to refer to him as, the guy with the long hair.
The greasy strangler.
Yeah, exactly. was a very creepy antagonist for this episode. So, yeah, definitely like a 4 out of 5 for me. Not one of the best ones, but definitely above average. So it's a good one.
It was all right. It's like it wasn't great, wasn't bad. And I feel like I'm saying this for a lot of these episodes, but it's like we're kind of like hitting some of these where it's like they don't do anything that's really over the top or kind of that memorable. Mm-hmm. But I think the idea of, you know, doing like the concept is a good idea, but the execution maybe wasn't kind of all there for me. And I think it was just like it could have done some parts a little bit better. Just tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But the idea of like an episode focused on music, I think, is interesting. Mm. And John Harrison directing did what he could, I guess, with the script. And
it's also like a time thing, too. I feel
that
like
too,
there's
yeah.
only so much time. I think I'm with you guys on that one. It's kind of just middle of the road for me. I like the concept a lot. I wish we got a little bit more of Farber, like what he was doing exactly, because it's all kind of like dumped in right at the end. I mean, you get inklings that he's doing like black magic and stuff. So obviously, you know, the allusions to Satanic Piano are there. Like, you know what's happening already from the get-go. But, you know, I think what I like most about this episode is how... You have this jaded musician who's basically got writer's block, you know what I mean? And like, he's so frustrated with that and like so hyper focused on keeping being popular and like keeping to hit, you know, I got to write the next hit instead of just doing what comes out of him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, I like how that kind of pairs with Lisa Bonet's character, who's kind of like the innocent, pure, like, creativity or soul, if you want to call it that, where she's just doing what feels right and what comes to her. Because she even has a line where she's like, oh, something about her mother, and he's like, well, your mother's gone, or your mother's whatever.
He snaps at her, yeah.
Yeah, so I think like they got it, because they are separated, so I guess like maybe the divorce fucked him up too, or something. Like maybe she was his muse, or who knows?
Yeah, like there's something else there that, yeah.
He lost his spark, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then just put himself in a, you know, he got tunnel vision, put himself in a hole. So I kind of like that portion of the episode. I wish we got more Farber stuff. Like, I wish we got more ritual stuff.
Yeah.
Like, him doing stuff with the piano and, like, imbuing it with
right.
the magic.
Yeah, seeing, like, more of what he's up to. Yeah. More of, like, what his, like, instead of just that exposition dump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's, like, seeing a little bit more of that. Now, here's a question. If this episode had a different title, do you think that would lend itself to be more of, like, a surprise when all that stuff comes out in the end?
I still say that I think they give away the satanic shit earlier. I swear to God, there's a scene with him in a satin, like, red outfit.
I think you're right. He's when they show the gurney, yeah, at one point.
But it's not totally spelled out. I mean, you can read between the lines. I mean, like, red, what else
this
is
guy's
doing?
Up to no good. Yeah.
Yeah. In the hood, possibly.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, that's a good thing to think about, though, Chris. Like, if you don't know what's satanic going in, maybe if you remove that one scene and then there's, like, that twist at the end, maybe it might work a little better for you. That's a good thought.
Like, it was called, like, the soul of music or something along the lines of that, like,
or feel the rhythm or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
just something else, and you're like, oh, well, it's music based.
Yeah.
Also, it's like,
but what's going on?
It's
here?
Electronic. It's got processors.
Yeah.
Is it really a piano?
Not really.
Right.
It's like the satanic synth, right?
Yeah,
and you get the alliteration with that. Yeah. So why not call it that?
Right. It's got a sequencer. It's got what else?
The satanic sequencer.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's like, you don't sequence with a piano.
And like,
well, that's the whole thing, because he's playing on the piano. He's like, cut that. It's not working for him, and that's why he wants to, like, make the jump to the synth shit.
To your point, though, about it, like, not showing enough of Farber. Like, I feel like maybe in, like, a 44-minute show, you could maybe get away with that. But yeah, at the tight 22 minutes, you know, maybe they could have spent a minute here, you know, on Farber instead of something else. But, you know, they got to pick and choose where they put their time and money into. But yeah, that would have been kind of cool to see a little bit more what he was doing, but maybe they were just like, well, we're going to focus on this other character because he's the more interesting one that we're
kind of
in this time slot we have.
Yeah, kind of going with like a less is more approach.
Yeah,
even with a little bit more Lisa Bonet, too, because like, she's just kind of there until the end where it kind of comes full circle. And it's just like, there could be a little bit more drama between her and her father. I mean, it's there, but like, we could have got a little bit more exposition of why he's the way he is.
Just want a little bit more coming out.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like there's only so much we can do with this short amount of time. Yeah. And we are really trying to, like, you know, put it under the microscope and, like, you know, discuss it. And it's, I feel like there's not a whole lot meat on the bone here to talk about.
You get breadcrumbs on this one a little bit.
It's crazy that we're saying that, because, like, you can glean all that shit. But then, like, a couple episodes later, which we're going to talk about, another episode that fits so much in to a short runtime, and it's just well paced and well written and just does it something similar better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And I think another one you're talking about, and
it's like crazy, like how much is in that episode, and it's just packed, but we'll get to it and I'll bring it up again.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's again, it's like there's only so much here that we can discuss,
but that's okay. And not every fucking thing is going to have some cerebral breakdown.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Some deeper meaning and ending explained by the satanic piano.
Just what? Yeah. It's a fucking satanic piano.
There's our big reveal. Thanks, everybody.
See ya. So that's it. That's the satanic piano. Before you get out of here, let us know what you think of this episode if you've watched it, and let us know in the comments, and make sure to like and subscribe before you jump out of here. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, do us a favor and leave a 5-star review if you're digging the show, because we'd really appreciate it and it helped the show out a lot. But until next time, I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Tales from the Dark Side is always there, waiting for us to watch it, waiting for us to hit play. Until next time, try to find it on DVD and watch along with us.